for standing by, and welcome to the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions press conference. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Later during the call, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If you should require operator assistance during the call, please depress star, then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Emily James. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions decision regarding Wichita State University. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and the public decision, which contains the details of this case. This information can also be found at ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. The members of the Committee on Infractions who reviewed this case include Carol Cartwright, President Emeritus, Kent State University, Melissa Convoy, Deputy Director of Athletics at the University of Notre Dame, Thomas Hill, Senior Vice President of Student Affairs at Iowa State University, Bill Maturi, former University of Minnesota Athletics Director, Eleanor Myers, Chief Hearing Officer and Law Professor and Faculty Athletics Representative at Temple University, Jim O'Fallon, Law Professor and Faculty Athletics Representative at University of Oregon, and Greg Sankey, Executive Associate Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer for the Southeastern Conference. Eleanor Myers will now discuss the findings and decisions of the Infractions Committee. Following her opening comments, she will take questions.
Thank you, Emily, and good afternoon or good morning, depending on where you're calling in from. The Committee on Infractions decision details the findings and penalties in this case. Our comments today are designed to address your questions. However, of course, the report stands on its own merits. This case centers on Wichita State University's failure to monitor the activities of a former administrative assistant regarding her use of a VIP account provided by the school's apparel provider. For nearly 2 years, 21 baseball players purchased shoes, clothing, hunting gear, and other non-athletics-related items for a total of $7,594.18 using the 50% discount that was offered by the apparel provider. Because the discount provided by the former assistant was not generally available to the full student body, families, and friends, the discount is considered an extra benefit to the players and therefore was an NCAA rules violation. The former assistant provided her login information to the baseball players so that they could access her computer and the VIP account. The athletes paid for the items themselves and believed that they could order the items in this manner as part of the school's agreement with the apparel provider. While the former assistant had a working knowledge of NCAA rules, the school acknowledged that it should have provided her with further rules education and didn't closely monitor her VIP account activities. Additionally, the school failed to implement recommended changes to its apparel purchasing system that would have ultimately helped avoid the extra benefit violations. Because of this, the school failed to monitor its baseball program. Penalties and corrective measures include public reprimand and censure, a fine of $5,000, 1 year of probation from January 29, 2015 through January 28, 2016, and a vacation of all regular season and conference tournament baseball wins in which the 21 baseball players competed while they were ineligible. The public report contains further detail on both the findings and the penalties. This includes my opening remarks.
Thank you, Eleanor. Kathy, can you please explain how reporters can indicate they would like to ask a question?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please depress star then one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a tone indicating that you've been placed in queue, and you may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. And once again, if you have a question at this time, please press star one. And one moment for the first question. And we have a question from Shane Ewing with Khaki TV. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for doing this, guys, and clearing some things up for us here. I think for the purpose of clarity regarding the vacation of wins, is there a certain number of games that we can find out that the school will be vacating?
Yes, it's in the report, and the number is, it was told to us, actually, now I'm wondering whether it's in the report. I know that number is available at the NCAA, and if you contact, Emily James after this call, we can get it to you. I thought it was actually in the report, and I'm just checking right now. Right, it's not listed there. It was, it was told to us by the enforcement staff. I can't remember the number right now, but in any event, that number would have to be double-checked. So I would ask you to double-check back with Emily to get that number from our statistics, from the NCAA statistics department.
Thank you. And the next question is from Stuart Haddad with KFH Radio. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. With reference to the penalties, what were the choices of how these penalties how the penalties were chosen?
Let me ask you a question. What do you mean by choices?
Well, what led up to how the penalties were chosen? If that makes sense.
Okay. Well, the penalties grow out of the findings of violations. And we found violations only against the institution. Once we find the violations, we then apply the penalty matrix. Since these violations spanned the period of time before and after the new enhanced penalty matrix, we applied the penalties that were most lenient. And in this case, the more lenient penalties were the new matrix. So we used that matrix to apply the penalties, which included the fine. And the public reprimand and censure. The 1 year of probation was proposed by the institution, and we accepted it.
And our next question is from Paul Sulentrop with Wichita Eagle. Please go ahead.
Yeah, from my reading of the report, the current coaching staff isn't, you know, culpable. Is that a correct reading of this?
You know, I didn't hear your, did you say the current coaching staff? Was that your qualifier? I just didn't hear what you said.
Yes, from my reading of it, the current coaching staff isn't really culpable in any of this under the NCAA's view. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then what happens to the losses for these seasons?
What happens to them? The records get, I'm sorry, the losses for the seasons, they stand. Are you asking about the vacated penalties or the losses that these students played in?
Yeah, if an ineligible player played in a game that Wichita State lost, are those games also vacated or just the victories?
No, just the victories.
Just the victories. Do you know what?
Pardon me. The next question is from Emily Gagne with KSN Channel 3. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I was just wondering if you had the dates. From this date to this date, those are all of the wins that are going to be taken away.
Well, we'll need to check with the school for that. So if you have questions on the win vacation, please follow up with the Wichita State Athletics Department.
And once again, if there are any additional questions, please press star 1. And we have a question from Jacob Albrecht with KWCH-TV. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious, do we have a name of that assistant or the apparel provider that are causing the violations?
We don't release the names. That's our practice.
Next question is from Shane Ewing with KAKE-TV. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the fact that the program is on probation, can you discuss or explain a little bit about how that will affect the program for this year, some of the things that the program will have to wade through and how it might affect, you know, any possibilities for championships or however that works?
It will not affect any possibility for championships. The conditions of probation are set out on page 19 of the report, and the main the school will be required to tell students that it's recruiting, that it is on probation, and to describe the violation. It will be required to do that in several other publications. And in addition, it will be required to submit reports to the Committee on Infractions so that we can review their program to make sure that they have made the enhancements that they have promised to make in their corrective actions.
Next question is from Kirk Semenoff with Wichita Eagle. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you talk about, reading the report, it looks like Gene Stevenson was not culpable for much of this other than following up with the administrative assistant. Can you go into further detail on his involvement and your thoughts on what his role was?
The report describes his involvement on basically on pages 8 and 9, and he was at the school for a very long period of time, 36 years, had a highly compliant program during that period, never had a major violation. This occurrence with the administrative assistant was one that went on over some period of time when he was not in the office as much as he usually was. And he did ask questions when it came to his attention and was assured by her that the students were paying for the things that they were ordering.
And next question is from Paul Sulentrop, Wichita Eagle. Please go ahead.
Yeah, since Wichita State self-reported this in, I guess, November of 13, did they take proper steps? Is the NCAA pleased with how they've reacted since then?
We detail in the mitigating circumstances in the report that they self-reported, that they investigated, that they had very good cooperation with the NCAA, that this was a deviation from an otherwise compliant program. So there was substantial mitigation here for the institution, and I think you could take the conclusion that with respect to this case, they acted in the way that we expect that the members will act when they come across a violation.
Next question is from Jacob Albrecht with KWCH-TV.
Are there any penalties moving forward in the probation to scholarship members Wichita State's allowed?
No.
Next question from Shane Ewing, KAKE-TV.
Yeah, I think my question was pretty much just addressed, actually. But if there is a way to, in the conditions of this case specifically, is this sort of an unprecedented case, or is this kind of comparable to many other cases or any other cases that the NCAA has investigated, and are the penalties consistent with what the findings were in other cases?
We're here to discuss this case. I will tell you generally what the committee's position is on consistency and the NCAA's position on consistency, and that is that we have a penalty matrix, that we do the calculation of aggravating and mitigating circumstances, and then we impose the penalties that that flow from those findings. And that is an effort to assure, not assure, but an effort to achieve as much consistency as we can. Having said that, each case presents special circumstances and unique circumstances. We take those into effect, certainly, when we are looking at the aggravating and mitigating circumstances, but to some extent, each case stands on its own.
Next question from Bob Lutz with Wichita Eagle. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thanks for the time. You stated earlier that this occurrence is one that went on over some period of time when the coach was not in the office as much as he usually was. Have you documented that? Is that an assertion from the coach? How did you come to that conclusion?
That evidence was presented by the coach in the hearing, and it's referred to in the report as well.
Next question from James Kellerman with The Sunflower. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think you somewhat answered this already, and Paul Sulentrop hit on it a little bit, but Will the losses from those dates, or victories from those dates, also be vacated from Gene Stevenson's record? I found something like that in the report.
Yes.
Okay.
Next question, Stuart Haddad with KF8 Radio.
Can you define the word probation as far as this case in general?
Okay. Can I define the word as far as this case and in general? As far as this case, the conditions of probation are spelled out on page 19. And 20. And generally, conditions of probation are set forth in the NCAA bylaws.
Next question from Jacob Albrecht with KWCH-TV. Please go ahead.
Real quick, public reprimand and censure, what exactly does that mean? And also, is this considered a major violation?
Public reprimand and censure is a presumptive penalty in every case, and it is basically a finding that there was a significant or serious violation. It's a declaration by the committee that is true. There are prior to 2012 or 13, the NCAA violations were divided into two categories, secondary and major. Starting with the new penalty matrix and the new violation structure that I referred to earlier, there are now four levels of violations, and we no longer use the words major and secondary. So there's level one, level two, which for the most part encompasses what used to be major, and level three and level four, which for the most part encompasses what used to be secondary. So under the old matrix, this would be considered major. Under the new matrix, it's considered level two, which is not as serious as a level one violation.
And our final question is from Kirk Seminoff with Wichita Eagle. Please go ahead.
Thank you. We've reported in the past that at least three people came to Indianapolis to talk to the committee, Todd Butler, Gene Stevenson, and Eric Sexton. Can you tell us if anybody else also addressed the committee and was asked questions by the committee? And who were they?
I can't tell you who they were, or I won't tell you who they were. Looking in the, there was a delegation from the university, but I'm not going to be more specific than that.
And with that, this concludes our comments today. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future on the NCAA website at ncaa.org. Thank you.